All right, today on Pacer Soundtable, I'm here with one of the all-time Pacer legends, Rick Smits, 12-year Pacer, second all-time leading scorer in franchise history. And we're here to talk about the 90s, of course, this week, with Saturday being the night that the 90s players are honored. But Rick, you were drafted in the 80s, actually. You're drafted in 1988, second pick in the draft behind Danny Manning. Take us back to draft day. Were you kind of expecting to go that high? What was your anticipation?
I was told I was going to go that high. That was a good possibility. I had some great visits, before the draft with the Pacers, with the Clippers, with Philadelphia. So I wasn't exactly sure where I was going to end up. Deep down inside, I had my doubts. I was never very confident in myself. So, when it actually happened, I was ecstatic, of course, but I was a little bit surprised as well, But I loved coming to Indiana. It was my best visit. I had the best feeling about Indiana, compared to other cities. So I was kind of relieved to come here.
Now, I think at that time, they did not work out players, did they?
Yes.
Oh, they did. Okay.
Oh, yeah, we did. That's what I said at our visits, of my visits with the different teams. We had workouts with every team.
Okay.
So I remember working out with Mel, and that went really well.
So, with Mel guarding you?
Yeah. And
he beat on you?
You could kind of tell he was a little, he didn't know much about me, I don't think, and I don't think he was too excited about me. And then, when we worked out, I blocked his first shot. And I think that changed his mind a little bit.
Good. Yeah. Good for you. If I had talked to you then, what kind of career were you expecting to have in the NBA?
Really didn't know, Mark. I was just kind of going with the flow. I had no idea. I realized soon enough that, hey, it's the second pick. There's high expectations. But when I came in, of course, I was told I would be behind Stipo for a while. And, unfortunately, he never made it back. So, fortunate for me, I got thrown right in the mix, But there were some big guys here. We had, Stuart Gray and Greg Dreiling, guys with some more experience than myself. So, it took a while for me to get established and, become the starting center. But I was just going with the flow,
Yeah, you did get thrown into it. The original plan was for you to come off the bench as a rookie behind Stepanovich, but he had that leg issue with his blood clot or whatever that was, a bone thing, I think it was, and he had to retire early. So you started 71 games as a rookie.
Oh, wow.
Averaged 11.7 points. You're on the all-rookie team. What was that like as a rookie? The year before you're playing at Marist College against small college competition. Suddenly you're playing against Patrick Ewing and Mutombo and guys like that. Yeah. What was that experience like?
It was a big adjustment. First of all, the number of games you play, the travel, the practices, everything. Everything was new, which, one part of it was exciting, but then, you talk about hitting that wall at maybe the 50, 60 mark, where you play that many games. And I think I had a little bit of that happening. You come from a small college where maybe you see one good player on the team that you're playing against, to here, every position is good, and that was it took some adjusting. But I guess I did okay, making a rookie team, looking back.
Seven games into your rookie season, Jack Ramsey got fired. Suddenly your coach is gone, and, Mel coached a couple of games, and then they brought in Dick Versace. But, that had to be a huge adjustment, too. You must have wondered what's going on here.
that wasn't much different from college because, I had three coaches in 4 years.
Oh, really?
College,
I didn't know that.
That was the norm, So maybe it was all my fault. I don't know. that was some year. Because I really like Jack, he had a lot of confidence in me, and he was the guy that basically brought me here, along with Donnie, of course. But I was sad to see him go, but hey, it all happened for a reason, I guess.
Yeah, you found out quickly what the NBA is all about. People will not tolerate losing for very long. So your second year, you averaged 15 points a game. You really made progress, and then you had a couple of years there where it became more of a struggle. Bob Hill was the coach. We've talked before about this, you know, his attitude toward you changed when he became the head coach.
Yeah.
And you went through a couple, 2 or 3 year period where people kind of got down on you. It's funny to see you only started 38 games in that 90-91 season after having started almost every game as a rookie.
Yeah.
So it was really that had to be a difficult stretch for you.
It was, I don't know the exact reasons. You know, I know Bob Hill wanted me to gain a bunch of weight. You know, I was at one point I was almost 300 pounds, 296. You know, and with that I got some knee issues. You know, carrying that extra weight. You know, nagging injuries, and you know, my problem looking back was I tried to keep playing through it. You know, which made things worse. You know, I had my knee atrophied. My muscles atrophied because my knee was hurting all the time. You know, and that made other things worse. So, you know, looking back, you know, I wasn't smart enough. You know, I should have taken care of my problems, set out, and not try to play through it. But, you know, you have that pressure of playing. You know, everybody expects you to play and be tough. You know, now I think a lot of guys are smarter. Hey, and the trainers are smarter. If there's a problem, hey, let's fix it. You know, let's not drag it on. You know, and then get the guy back healthy. And I didn't do that. And, you know, in turn, I got probably down on myself. Coaches got down on me. Fans got down on me. The media, you know, got down on me.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the end, it worked out all right. You know, I guess it could have been better. But, hey, you live, you learn.
Yeah. That's interesting, though, you say that, because a lot of times people assume that pro athletes won't play hurt. You know, they won't play with pain or whatever. They just want their paycheck. But the most of the guys I talk with, Derek McKee would be in this category as well. You play when you're hurt, and that turns out to be a bad thing, that it really hampers your career.
It did. You know, the feet were an issue, the knees. You know, a small ankle issue and elbow chips. You know, there was all little things. Luckily, nothing major, you know. But, you know, it did hamper my career looking back.
Well, you guys had a nice run in 91 when you took the Celtics to 5 games, but things didn't get any better after that. So Larry Brown comes in, the 93-94 season. That seemed to be kind of what got you going in the right direction. It kind of revived your career, didn't it?
Yeah, he remembered seeing me in college, you know, when I was, you know, 235 pounds, you know, when I could really get up and down the floor, when I could really jump high. So the first thing he said, Rick, you got to lose weight. I want you back to, I think, 260, he said. And that's where I stayed the rest of my career. I played at 260 pounds, which, you know, for me was ideal, you know. So he had a lot of confidence in me, and he turned the team around. He saw everybody equal. You know, 1 through 12, he treated everybody equal. There was no special treatment for everybody or anybody. And, you know, he worked us hard. You know, he knew what he was doing. As a coach, you know, X's and O kind of guys, you know, and he made us work so hard, he made us mad, you know, at him, but which in turn, you know, got us playing harder during the games. You know, we'd be so mad. And, you know, we had some success with that.
You were mad because what, practices were really hard, or
well,
did you run you guys more?
With Larry, you know, as I said, he was a great X's and O guys, game situation, probably the best we've had. But, you know, you could never do anything right. Everything was wrong. Oh, you're doing this wrong, Rick. You're doing that wrong, Rick. You got to do this that way, you know. And it just made you mad at him. You know, every guy was just pissed at him. And, and you know, and that's, I think, why he only lasted a couple of years here and there. You know, everybody just gets so mad at him all the time. Just said after a while, said, the heck with him, you know.
Yep.
And that's basically what happened to us, you know, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But it was just the way he got guys going. That's the way he got guys motivated, you know, and you can only take that for so long, I guess.
Was it hard for you to take off that weight after you put it on to get down to 260?
No, not really.
Because that was your natural weight, I guess.
Huh? Yeah, that was it. I mean, that was, you know, just some diet changes, you know, instead of drinking 2-3 milkshakes every day, you know, with every meal, you know, starting eating a little healthier. And, you know, the weight came off pretty quick.
Yeah. So it must have been harder to put it on than take it off.
Yeah. I've never, you know, especially early on in my career, I'd never had, you know, I was always kind of skinny, and it was hard putting weight on, you know.
That first year with Larry Brown was interesting because you guys were 7 games under 500 at the end of January, not too much before where we are right now in this season. And you guys were 7 games under 500. And then you won a game in Houston at the end of a road trip. And that started like a 7-game win streak or something like that. Can you recall like what got you guys going all of a sudden?
No, Mark, that's a long time ago. You know, for a while there, I was pretty good at remembering games and what I did in them and what we did. But now it's been so long ago, I can't honestly.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the turnaround.
It was just kind of amazing to learn. You know, like this season, as the Pacers struggled early with the new coach and new players, people would get down on the team, and I would remind people, hey, Larry Brown's first year, there were 7 games under 500 late in January and wound up in the conference finals. So it was really an incredible turnaround for you guys.
Yeah, let's hope the guys are doing the same thing right now.
Yeah, you never know. Yeah. You just never know. So what for you, the 90s, you know, you guys made, you made 5 runs to the conference finals over a 7-year period. Going to the conference finals became the norm. As you look back on that stretch, does anything in particular stand out in your mind now as like the best time, the best memory, or does it all seem like a blur right now?
Yeah, it all seems like a blur. I don't talk enough about those days that I, you know, remember what we did that year, what we were, you know, what we didn't do that year. You know, it all kind of blends together. It's usually fans and reporters, a lot of people that remind me, you guys did this and that year. You know, I'm not that much on my past. You know, I try to live in the now and the future more than my past.
Well, the first year was Reggie's 25-point fourth quarter in Madison Square Garden in the conference finals. And then the second year you went to the conference finals in 95, he had the 8 points in 8.9 seconds. But that was also the year that you hit that shot against Orlando, that game-winning shot that, you know, Tree Rollins went for your fake and
was
all that.
Was that 93?
That 95.
95, okay.
95.
All right.
Yeah, and that was game 4.
Okay.
And that tied the series at 2-2. But that was an incredible game because the lead changed hands so many times back and forth at the end, and you finished it off with a buzzer beater. Do you consider that a highlight or the highlight of your career?
Yeah, probably that. And I'm making the All-Star team. Mm-hmm. You know, that was a pretty proud moment. You know, I had a lot of fun there. That was a great experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was in Madison Square Garden in 1998, which was Larry Bird's first season as head coach. So Larry and the rest of his staff coached the game, and you and Reggie Miller were in the game.
Yeah.
If I remember right, you were kind of initially reluctant to go. I mean, you would have rather had the time off, but you did have a good time with it, didn't
you? I was
probably,
you know, more nervous about going, you know, and I was never a big fan of New York City. You know, anywhere else, I would have probably been more excited.
Yeah.
But, I'm glad I got to experience it. It was a lot of fun. You know, I had some of my family come out and watch me, and, it was great. I mean, the guys were just phenomenal to hang out and play ball with them. It was really a lot of fun.
You played well, and people remember a behind-the-back pass you threw to, I think it was Jason Williams, the guy from New Jersey.
Yeah.
So you were having fun with it, obviously.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, that's what All-Star Game's supposed to be all about, you know, just having some fun.
Yeah. And I'm guessing you were a guy who probably never even watched the All-Star Game in your playing career.
No. Oh, Mark, I'm not that bad. I did watch the All-Star games, of course.
What's it like when Larry Bird came in? He came in for the 97-98 season. I remember as a group you guys were really excited because a lot of you guys had played against him.
Yeah.
So you knew exactly what his career was about. Yeah. What do you recall from him coming in, what he brought to it?
Well, first of all, the first thing he said, you guys all know what you're doing. You know, you're in the NBA for a reason. You know, he was the opposite of Larry Brown. Where with Larry Brown, we couldn't do anything right. You know, with Larry Bird, we were great. You know, he said, "You guys know what you're doing out on the court, you know, basketball wise, but I'm going to get you in the best shape you've ever been in." And man, did he ever! You know, our shoot arounds were probably a harder practice than most regular practices with past coaches. You know, we really worked our asses off. He ran us in practice, and we were in great shape. You know, we also became one of the better free throw shooting teams. You know, the thing that surprised me was how quiet Larry actually was. You know, as a coach. He just delegated everything to Carlisle and was a Dick Carter, right?
Yeah.
You know, on offense and defense.
Yeah.
Larry just kind of clapped his hands, you know, at practice and said, "Let's go, guys." And his assistant coaches did most of the work. But, you know, at the time, it was great for us. It was exactly what we needed.
Yeah. You know? Could you tell at the end of that season that the conditioning paid off?
Right, definitely. Yeah. Because everything was geared towards the end of the season, towards the playoffs, you know.
in that first season, 98, that's when you went seven games with Chicago. You know, that was the series where Reggie Miller hit that game-winning three-pointer when he shoved off Jordan. And I remember game seven up in Chicago. You know, they had won every game up there. The home team won every game in that series. We go to game seven at the United Center. And I remember being by your locker room when you guys came off the bus and walked in. You're in uniform, for one thing. I mean, you dressed at the hotel just so you wouldn't be late because of all the traffic up there, you know. And I just remember the look on your faces as a team that I thought, man, these guys think they could win this, you know. Yeah. I mean, they were the defending champions. But you guys seemed to have so much confidence in that game, and you took a double-figure lead in the first half.
Is that when the whistle started blowing all of a sudden? I kind of remember that game. That was that was very frustrating, and, you know, I'd rather not even talk about that, get into all that, you know, because, we were definitely the better team. And in a lot of occasions we were, you know, even against New York. But, you know, it was 5-8, you know, at a lot of times. So.
The home court advantage certainly played out in that game.
Yeah.
I remember they out-rebounded you guys, and there were a number of missed free throws as well. There were some factors. And, of course, Jordan made plays at the very end and all that. But that was a game where, I mean, it seemed like, if you win that game, you win the championship because they beat Utah for the championship.
Yeah.
And then 99 was the year, the lockout year, where you guys were really the favorite most of that year going into it. And then you had that, you know, you swept through the first two rounds and had like 8 days off before you played the Knicks in the conference finals and lost game one. You kind of lost your momentum and chemistry and lost game one. And that was also the series of the four-point play with Larry Johnson.
Yeah, so, I remember that particular travel.
That was tough. And, of course, then a lot of people were down on you guys. You know, they were, oh, break them up, they're done. And then you came back the next year and went to the finals.
Yeah.
So that had to be, you know, a satisfying thing. At least you got to the finals in your last NBA season.
That was, you know, pretty good year. You know, it would have been nice if they got a couple more games and won it.
Yeah.
But
it was a competitive series. Just I mean, it went six games.
Yeah, and just the experience of finally getting there was, you know, it's pretty good.
What was it like having to play against Shaq at the peak of his career?
It was tough, you know. You knew what you could, well, you know, I could take him outside, you know, shoot over him, but you know you couldn't stop him down low. You know, he's just so strong. You know, I mean, you can try to take a charge, but you know you get the foul. You know, so many times. So there was really not a lot you could do when he got the ball down low. You know what? You know, an incredible talent. You know, as the size as he was, how quick he could jump, how strong he can get up and just overpower you. It's, not a lot you can do against that.
And he was at his absolute peak, I think, at that time. He'd been in the league a while and had experience, but he was still young enough to be athletic and all that. So that was your last year, and, you know, your body was starting to show the signs of wear and tear.
Both my body and mentally, I think I was done. Yeah, I always told myself I wanted to stop at or near my peak, and that year I actually for the first time felt I couldn't get any better, and I was slowing down a step. You know, on defense, if a guard come off, you know, my man's pick, I had sometimes a little tough time staying with him. You know, speed wise, I felt myself slowing down, and I was, you know, injury-wise, I was doing pretty good at that time, but my lower back was starting to ache a little bit and hurt a little bit, and I just felt it was the right time.
Yeah, and you had issues with your feet throughout much of your career, but you had kind of gotten over those, hadn't you? Dan Dyrick had come in and really resolved that part of it.
Yeah, Larry Bird brought in Dan Dyrick from Boston, and they really helped a lot, and I'm still grateful for that he did that.
How are you today physically? Do you feel a lot of aches and pains from your career?
I turned out that I had a couple cracks in my back, and likely from basketball. You know, the doctors that I've seen said it's, you know, it's common. It's a facet joint in my back that had two cracks in it. And, you know, 3 or 4 years after I stopped playing basketball, I started getting this funny feeling down in my leg, you know, kind of a numb feeling that went all the way into my toes. So I got it looked at, and that's when the doctor found this crack. And I had to have lower back fusion because of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's... it felt good a long time after that, and then I kind of forgot, you know, hey, once you have back surgery, you got to be careful what you do. And I, you know, did some silly things, tried to pick up a 55-gallon drum of fuel, you know, and all of a sudden something else happened in my back, and it hasn't been the same since.
Okay.
So I got to be careful what I do these days. So.
Yeah. I remember when you retired, you didn't really announce it, or we didn't have the press conference until like the following September, you know, and Isaiah Thomas was the coach then.
Yeah.
It seemed like they were telling you, take your time, think about it, because they really wanted you to come back
for another year. Donnie had asked me, said, hey, let's not announce it right away, you know, take a summer, think about it. So we knew Larry was not going to be the coach. So, you know, I met with a couple of the players, you know. My heart wasn't in it at the time,
yeah.
You know, and I just, as I said earlier, I felt it was the right time to give it up.
Yeah, well, that's admirable, because you easily could have collected another paycheck for another couple of years. You were 32 when you retired,
yeah,
only
yeah.
32.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I was, you know, I was still playing every week, a couple times a week, you know, and just, you know, fun recreational leagues and, you know, just exercise-wise. I love playing basketball. I love the game. You know, it's I still try to play some, as much as my body will allow,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But, I could have. And, you know, I had given it some thought, you know, a couple of years, whether to come back or just – you know, try to help a team out in the playoffs or something like that, but mm-hmm. It just never materialized. So.
Of all those teams in the 90s, those conference finalists, to you, does anyone stand out as the best? Like, that was the team that really had a chance to win a championship? Or
well, that year that you said that we went into Chicago and we had that that big lead early on, I think, you know, that team, that's probably one of our better teams,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah, 98.
Yeah, 98.
Okay. When you first started here, did you expect that you would make Indianapolis your home for so long? You know,
didn't really think about it, Mark. Yeah, you know, I couldn't really tell you.
Yeah,
you know, looking back, it's definitely the place I've been the longest.
You know?
But I liked Indianapolis. You know, it's I'm not a big city kind of guy. You know, Indianapolis was never really, you know, like a Chicago or New York. It's got the small town atmosphere. You know, it sure has grown a lot since I've been here.
Oh yeah.
You know, with even where I am at now, you know, there was no houses around when I moved there, and now it's, you know, houses all around. So, you know, everything is just growing.
Yeah, you've lived up in Zionsville, but you were just telling me you're kind of checking out Arizona now. You're out in Arizona this winter. Are you thinking of making that your home?
Possibly. Yeah, it's the older I get, the tougher time I have with the cold winters, you know, and the gray days outside, you know.
Yeah.
I'm like a bear, you know. I feel like I want to hibernate during the winter. So, you know. So we decided this last year would be a good time to try out the West Coast. We visited San Diego, we visited the Phoenix area, and decided to go with Phoenix for a year.
Yeah. Do people out there recognize you when you're out?
Very few, yeah. I might have, we've been there since late July. Maybe five people recognize me.
Oh, really? You know? That's you like that idea.
Yeah, but. Yeah. It doesn't. You know, either way. I mean, I'm used to people recognizing me here, but if it doesn't happen, that's fine too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So you, I know you still own your home in Zionsville, and you're in a temporary home now. You're renting, but do you have much memorabilia from your playing career? Like, did you keep stuff?
You know, not a whole lot. I've got some game balls, you know, where I don't know what they say. So look at them, you know, maybe career leader or for blocks at a time or points or rebounds. I don't know. Just before we went to Arizona, we finished a remodel on our home in Zionsville, and I finally had some cases built. You know, I got a gym in the house, and we have some cases built outside the gym where I displayed some of that stuff. But, you know, they've been sitting in the attic up until then, you know. As I said, I'm not much of a guy that dwells on the past or, you know, I'm more of a guy that lives in the now and the future.
Do you ever go back and watch games, either on videotape or on YouTube or anything like that?
Yeah, every once in a while somebody will tag me, you know, on Facebook or something in a video from back then. And then, you know, once I watch one, then I tend to search for some more. And then, you know, it's kind of cool. You know, the older you get, you do start to cherish those moments from back then somewhat. But,
yeah.
Yeah, I've probably got a box somewhere with VHS tapes, but yeah, who knows? Maybe down the road I'll check those out.
Yeah, when you're really old, huh?
Yeah.
What do you do with your free time now out in Arizona?
Well, we stay real active there. There's phenomenal off-road riding areas down in the area I'm at, and that's always been a hobby of mine. Dirt bikes mostly. We've got a side-by-side, a Polaris Razor. We take that out some, and then there's thousands of miles of trails for bicycle trails. You know, mountain bikes, mountain bikes. You know, I do that some. So we stay real active. We hike a lot. There's tons of parks and hiking areas there. You know, I'm still restoring motorcycles, and I'm restoring one now over there. So I stay busy, yeah.
And your son's a redshirt freshman at Valparaiso? Right?
Yeah, he's playing for the first time this year. They're having a real good season. They're atop the Horizon League right now, and he's getting some more minutes as the season's going on. He's got a ways to go. He's a little inconsistent. You know, he's got some great games, and he's got some games where, you know, you don't really notice him out there.
Yeah.
But he's working hard, and, he's having a great time. He's really enjoying that.
He was growing up, did he make it a point to look at your games? Did he have a lot of interest in your career?
No, I don't think he watched any of them. It's probably the same thing with him. If somebody, you know, say, hey, check out this video on social media of your dad, you know, he might watch it. We've never sat down and watched any of them together.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't mind, but he's, you know, he's a typical teenage kid. He don't listen to his dad. You know, if I tell him to do something, I don't see it the next day I'm watching the game, you know. So he didn't even listen to me, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, he'll learn eventually.
I hope so.
Do you keep in touch at all with any of your former teammates?
Very little. I used to see Derek McKee around town. You know, he lives in the same town I do. I spoke to Detlef once in a while. You know, once recruiting season came around for my son, Derek, I spoke to a couple of guys that were, you know, their schools asked them to contact me about Derek. You know, I spoke to Antonio, I seen Dale, I seen Chuck Person.
Okay. Do you get back to hauling at all?
Very little. Ever since I had my back issues, it's very tough to sit still for a long time. And then, an 8-hour plane ride is real hard on my back.
Yeah.
So I haven't been back probably 5 years or so.
Okay. As you look back on your career, again, 12 seasons, second all-time leading scorer, one of the most popular Pacers of all time. Do you have regrets? Do you think, oh man, I wish I had done that or hadn't done that or
no?
Whatever?
As I said, that's, you know, I can't change the past. You know, I had a great career. You know, it's rare these days to be in one team.
Yes.
You know, for that long. So I'm grateful for the organization that they kept me here. You know, it was the right place for me to be.
Coming in today, I was remembering that radio commercial you used to do. I can do color. Who was that for? I couldn't remember who that was.
I think it was just a Pacer commercial, wasn't it?
Okay.
I think it was just a Pacer promo. Yeah,
that was popular.
Yeah, I didn't do a whole lot of outside commercials. I was asked a lot, but I'd rather be spending. Yeah, you know, I was too shy to do it. Really, I didn't have the confidence in myself. And then I'd rather be spending time with the family, at home than spending hours in the studio. So.
Okay. But you'll be here Saturday for 90s night?
Yeah, I'll be here.
I have no idea who else will be here. Hopefully a lot of guys
from
those
either.
Teams. A lot of these guys are still around, so
yeah.
It'll be great to see everybody. So, Rick, appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Martin.